had a flat tire. And I got some air in it, got home in the garage, where I had a nice level place to change the tire. Went down to my workshop and got a saw and a screwdriver. And is that right? Is that what I'd use to change the tire? Would you use a saw or a screwdriver? No. How about open the trunk and get a jack and a lug wrench, things like that? That makes more sense. Okay. Has anything ever broken at your house? What happened? Did your mom or dad fix it? Or did they call, was they fixed it? Did they have to use some tools? They did. What broke? You don't remember. Oh. Well, sometimes the toilet will start running. And you wouldn't use a saw for that either, but you could use a wrench, couldn't you? Put it together and some plumber's putty, and maybe you have to have some new parts to put in. We have all kinds of tools that we use. My wife has little nails she uses when she puts in pictures on the wall, and she has a hammer that she hammers them in. There are all kinds of things that we do around the house. Look out, good recovery. God has tools too, kind of like a big toolbox. We have God the Father, who created us and loves us and always taking care of us. We have God who came to earth as a human being to teach us about him and what we needed to know for life. Who am I talking about? No, the human being on earth that he sent. Jesus. Jesus? Okay, Jesus. And then God came to us in a third way as God's Spirit who comes inside of us to help us be good people. So God has a toolbox with kind of three things in it. Himself, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit that lives within us and helps us to be good people. Let's thank God for coming to us like that. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for coming to us in three ways. To help us be good people. Amen. And thank you for coming up here.
Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15, and we're reading from the New International Version. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Thus ends the reading.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. An interesting report came across the wires of the Associated Press a while back. It seems that, along with hardcore pornography and hate magazines, officials of the Texas State Prison System have banned the Texas Almanac from prison libraries. Now, if you're familiar with an almanac, you may think that this is a rather strange thing to outlaw in a prison library. But here's the reason. The Texas Almanac contains maps that are so detailed and so accurate that prison officials fear they could help prisoners escape. A map would be of great assistance if you're planning to go over the wall, said Larry Fitzgerald, the spokesman for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Once they're outside the walls, they go, ooh, I'm out here. What do I do now? A lot of times they won't have any idea where they are and what road leads to where. He continues, would-be escapees would be well served with the almanac. Take its map from Polk County, the densely forested East Texas home of the Terrell Prison. The map is so thorough it includes the tiny towns of Pluck, Ace, and Piney, and an Indian reservation and several railroad lines. The publisher of the almanac, the Dallas Morning News, isn't upset about the ban. The newspaper sees it as a marketing opportunity. They reported recently in an advertisement, they bragged, the powers that be feared that inmates might use the detailed county maps to plot escape routes. If the maps are so good prisoners aren't allowed to read them, imagine what they can do for you. We all need guidance, don't we? We all need guidance. Our lesson for John's gospel, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He says to them, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Last week was our celebration of Pentecost. We dealt with the Holy Spirit as the source of our power. Today I want to see the Holy Spirit as the source of guidance in a chaotic world. Think of a car. It's not much use to you without an engine, is it? But it would be just about as useless without a steering wheel. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are given both power and guidance. Several years ago, Barbara and I were taking a shortcut through the country in southern Illinois. We knew where we could get on Interstate 64. And as we came up to one of those intersections in the country, looking ahead, I saw that two fertilizer trucks, wagons, had fallen over, blocking the entire road. And I paused at the corner because I knew that many of the roads there don't go through. And a truck pulled up beside me and asked, where are you going? And I told him we wanted to get on Interstate 64 going west. He says, follow me, keep close. So I followed him, kept close. He stopped and said, straight up there is your entrance onto 64 west. And he took off going wherever he had been planning to go before. It struck me that that's what Jesus says to us. That's the invitation of Christ to someone who wants to know God, to figure out the inner self, and to understand how to live in the real world. Follow Jesus and stick close. Jesus does not miss a turn. Jesus knew that the disciples were going out into a hostile world. They would need both power and guidance. And Jesus would no longer be there with them to show them the way. But he would be with them in the Spirit. When we speak of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are in essence saying that we believe in the Creator God. We believe in Jesus, God's unique presence in the world and human flesh. And we believe in Christ's Spirit at work today in the world and in our individual lives. The Holy Spirit gives us both power and guidance. This is a confusing world we live in. In some ways, it's a crazy world. A while back, I read that they had arrested a man in Washington, D.C. who had been robbing liquor stores all over the city. The odd thing was that he only robbed the stores during daylight. And when the police asked him why he did this, he said, "Are you kidding? It isn't safe to be on the streets at night with that much money." It's a crazy world. It's a confusing world. In his book, The Pursuit of Happiness, David Myers writes that over a 33-year period, per capita income in the U.S. more than doubled. But the number of Americans who reported being very happy stayed the same. All the advances in medicine, all the achievements in technology, all the increase in material wealth and prosperity has not supplied us with an answer to our deepest yearnings or fulfilled our deepest needs. Never have we been so self-reliant or so lonely. Never have we seemed so free or our prisons so overflowing. Never have we had so much education or such high rates of teen delinquency, despair, and suicide. Never have we been so sophisticated about pleasure or so likely to suffer broken or miserable marriages. This is a confusing world. We need a guide we can depend on. And Christ, working through the power of the Holy Spirit, is that guide that all of us need. Pastor Michael Walters tells us, listening to a radio program, about a famous test pilot. This pilot was flying a fighter jet in bad weather and about to make his instrument approach to the airport. And the air traffic controller called and asked how much fuel he had. "Plenty," he said. Well, the controller said, "We've got a little problem. There's a young pilot who's not instrument rated. He's lost in the clouds, and we were wondering if you could intercept him and lead him back to the airport." "Sure," the pilot responded. He found the lost plane, pulled up beside it, and he called on the radio and told the pilot to look out to his left, and there was this huge fighter jet. He started to cry. He thought he was done for, about out of gas, and now they're going to shoot him down. "Don't worry," the test pilot said. "Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to pull in front of you several hundred yards, do everything I do. I'm going to turn gently, do exactly what I do, follow me." When they finally broke through the clouds at 500 feet, the frightened pilot saw the most beautiful sight in the world, the airport straight ahead of him, and he was perfectly lined up for the aerostrip landing. There are times when we need a guide that we can depend on. Where would we be without mentors, coaches, counselors, consultants, when we are engaged in tasks that are far beyond our own expertise? Christ can take our very best and make it better. The secret is to yield our lives to his leadership, to trust him and let him lead you day by day by day. When you make it a habit to trust his guidance, it is amazing how life comes together. A lady named Peggy Pullen, writing in Guidepost magazine, tells about an interesting event in her life. She'd been planning to make a brown sugar pound cake, her specialty, for her Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Howell. But suddenly she got this idea in her head to bake a lemon cheesecake for Mrs. Howell instead of the pound cake. The recipe called for fresh lemons. Peggy checked her supplies. No lemons, but plenty of brown sugar. A pound cake would be so much easier, she thought. But again came the nudge, bake a lemon cheesecake. After the trip to the grocery store to buy lemons, she began to make the batter. And when she arrived at Mrs. Howell's, Mrs. Howell's husband let Peggy in. "She'll be happy to see you," he said. And then he explained that she had broken her leg and was bedridden. "The doctor says she's going to be just fine, but she can't get up and do what she wants to do." So Peggy walked in the bedroom carrying her surprise. "So sorry about your leg, Mrs. Howell," she said. "Maybe this will make you feel better," as she placed the cake on the table. The tangy scent of fresh lemons wafted through the air, and she looked at Mrs. Howell. Mrs. Howell was crying. "How did you know?" she asked. "No?" asked Peggy. "Today's our wedding day, our anniversary, 55 years. And on every anniversary, I baked my husband his favorite thing." And she pointed at the cake. "How did you know it was lemon cheesecake?" A simple story, a little mysterious. Coincidence? Maybe. But it's interesting how many of those happy little coincidences happen to those who will yield themselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In our lesson from John's Gospel, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says to them, "I have much more to say to you, but you're just not ready for it yet. But when he, Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." We all need that Spirit today. And Jesus wants to give us that guidance and power. Are you listening? And when you hear that nudge, are you responding? That's how you feel the glory, once you answer the nudge. Amen. Spirit, abide with each of us both today and every day. Amen.